Welcome to Methods, a podcast from the ESRC National Centre for Research Methods. In today's episode, we talk to Dr. Susie Weller from the University of Southampton about working across multiple qualitative datasets and the archaeological metaphor she and colleagues have been using to dig deep.
The availability of volumes of complex qualitative data is growing. For example, the UK Data Archive has over 1,000 qualitative and mixed method datasets that are available for use. And the major UK funding bodies view data sharing as vital to accountability and transparency. But this really is a new context for qualitative research, and there's very little guidance about how best to work with masses of qualitative data. We really wanted to know whether it's possible to do big qual analysis whilst retaining all that's distinct about rigorous qualitative research, so things like attention to nuanced context and detail. So we're particularly interested in bringing together multiple qualitative datasets and developing a systematic and rigorous approach to big qual analysis in a manner that maintains the integrity of qualitative work.
Fantastic. So now you've developed something of an archaeological metaphor and approach for the work that you and colleagues are doing, looking at using those multiple datasets of big qual, as you refer to it. I wonder how that came about.
Well, big qual research has started to become more common, and approaches have generally involved in-depth explorations across cases in different contexts. So, for example, comparing relatively small samples from two projects. There's also been computational approaches using to text mining that offer the possibility of looking across a larger corpus of qualitative material. And whilst these approaches offer depth, the outcomes are often regarded as the endpoint. So they tend to lack the in-depth insights that's the hallmark of qualitative analysis. So we needed to find a way to reconcile breadth with depth. It's just simply impractical to read in depth and analyse hundreds or thousands of detailed text files. So instead, we needed to survey the data landscape to get a sense of the material and identify in a rigorous manner appropriate places to dig deeper. And we realised that the process was much like that undertaken by a field archaeologist. So using this metaphor of archaeology helps us see the data sets that comprise big qual as a landscape. So if you think of a great view that you might have from an aeroplane, where you can see lots of interesting features that you might like to explore and dig into in more detail. So it's really helped us to work extensively and intensively to identify and excavate meaning.
And this approach has helped you develop a four-step process for working with big qual. Talk us through that process.
Sure. So our approach brings together computational techniques for exploring breadth with more conventional forms of qualitative analysis to provide depth. So the first step is aerial surveying, and that can be likened to flying systematically across a data landscape to get an overview. So the aim is to look across an archive or several archives to locate and review potential sources of academic data that are of an appropriate nature, quality and fit with your research topic. So you could bring together lots of data from lots of different projects, and the selected data becomes like a composite data set with which you work. Following on from this then is step two, which we've called geophysical surveying, and that involves using computational text mining tools, and there are many different possibilities available, to identify key concepts associated with the researcher's interest across the whole composite data set. So particular subsurface features are examined to determine the most important places in which to dig further into the data set. The third step is shallow test pit sampling. So you use the outcomes from step two and you take short extracts from the data, or test pits, and you explore these to see which areas of interest are worth investigating further. If you don't come up with any material of interest in the test bit, then you go back to step two and look for other potential areas of interest. Step four is deep excavation, and this involves moving from examining extracts of data to immersion in whole cases. So you could employ one of a number of commonly used approaches in qualitative analysis, such as thematic frame or narrative analysis. And this step involves being sensitive to context and complexity. So again, you could go back to step two and look for other possible areas to dig. So it really is an iterative process, each step guided by the outcomes of the previous one. And at any point, you could go back and resurvey the landscape to enhance your understanding of the social processes at work.
The qualitative study Timescapes is one of the key sets of data that you've been using. And so for those not in the know, what is Timescapes?
Well, Timescapes was a large-scale qualitative longitudinal study that looked at change and continuity in key relationships and identities of individuals across the life course. There were 7 projects which were concerned with documenting different life course phases. So there was one on children's relationships with their siblings and friends, right through to the experiences of those aged over 75. Importantly, Timescapes developed the specialist infrastructure for scaling up qualitative longitudinal work. And it really did give attention to the value of data sharing and the ability to bring related data sets into conversation with one another. So in this respect, Timescapes works perfectly for us. And these data sets are available for other researchers to reuse via the Timescapes archive.
Fantastic. So there's there's also a substantive focus to your work as well. And you're looking at care and intimacy in a family setting. I wonder what that means and what sorts of things you're looking at specifically. Tell us a bit more about that.
So our team are really interested in caring and intimate identities, relationships and practices. And we're using this focus to test out our archaeological method. We're exploring whether gender differences in vocabularies and practices of care and intimacy are more distinct in earlier or later life. We've been interested in topics such as how men and women from different age cohorts talk about trust, how they talk about arguments and their impact on relationships over time. We've been looking at the context in which moving house are discussed by men and women across age cohorts and by class as well. So using the data sets from the Timescapes archive, we created a large composite data set using 6 of the projects. And we've used the data around participants' background characteristics to reassemble this large data set into different age cohorts of men and women. And this means we're able to address research questions around change over historical and biographical time in gendered vocabularies.
Right. And how have you applied this archaeological approach to Timescapes or to the data that you've taken from Timescapes?
Well, first of all, we carried out an aerial survey to get a real sense of the data sets. To do this, we constructed a database. So we recorded aspects of the original project, such as their substantive focus, the metadata, contextual material, the kinds of research methods and tools that the original researchers used and the format the data was in. And we synthesized the data sets and organized the files into these gender and age cohort groupings. For our geophysical surveying, we used a range of qualitative analysis software tools, those that were suitable for text mining and semantic analysis. And we use these to explore the entire data set. We've looked at things like word frequencies, the co-location of keywords, and the main concepts and themes across the data set. And the software has helped us to identify relationships between topics as well. We've been able to map key concepts and themes visually, and it was through this step that we were able to identify a number of areas of interest, and we're currently exploring 2 examples, trust and moving home. For our third step, shallow test pit sampling, we wanted to dig deep enough to show whether there was anything of interest or not. So we used the key concepts and themes that we identified in step 2, and we explored segments of data, approximately 200 words in length, to look at the keywords and concepts in context. And this gave us a real sense of whether the extract contained anything relevant. And then the fourth step, our deep excavation, brings depth back into conversation with breadth. And we use the outcomes of step 3 to identify and make comparisons between a sample of cases. So we've used case analysis, but you could use any number of approaches to qualitative analysis to explore in depth gender differences in vocabularies and practices of care in earlier and later life. And this step enables a sensitivity to changing context and the opportunity to explore multi-layered complexity and rich detail.
So as we record our interview, Susie, you're partway through the project, but I wonder if you've drawn any key conclusions to date about the benefits of working with multiple qualitative data sets and this new approach that you've developed.
Sure. Well, so far we've identified 3 key benefits. The first is comparison. So working across multiple qualitative data sets brings comparison into research design and practice in a way that allows for greater diversity of participants and cases, more than you might get from a single study, for instance. And the second benefit is generalisation. Working in this way offers a theoretical approach to generalisation, a generalisability that comes from particularity. So getting a grip on how processes work in different contexts, how they relate and how they unfold. And the third benefit relates to innovative insights. So bringing together the different theoretical, disciplinary and epistemological perspectives and approaches that shape the different projects and the materials that they produce has the potential to generate some innovative insights, we argue.
So just finally then, I wonder what's to come, and do you have a message or any tips for researchers who might be considering working with Big Qual in the future?
Yeah, we feel that conducting secondary analysis across lots of qualitative data sets is a really worthy endeavour. It offers the possibility of enhancing the richness of research. It can provide new substantive insights into social processes, and it can further strengthen the use of comparison to aid generalisability. We think our approach goes beyond other forms of research that synthesise multiple studies, for example, systematic reviews, in that the original data is revisited rather than just pulling together the findings of others as they've been reported. We're really mindful, however, not to disregard small qualitative studies, and we feel our approach further brings out the value of these. So we're also planning some collaborative work, exploring the possibilities of bringing together qualitative data sets from different international contexts. And excitingly, we've just been awarded some more funding to develop a set of resources for teaching this method.
Susie Weller was talking to Christine Garrington about work from the NCRM-funded project Working Across Qualitative Longitudinal Studies, a feasibility study looking at care and intimacy. More information is available on the NCRM website at www.ncrm.ac.uk.